Okay, we're on Daf Ayin Chet tonight. Ayin Chet, 78a, six lines down in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, now the Gemara is focusing on the Pesukim in Parshat Ki Tetze, and I'll read the Pesukim. I have a Chumash with me here. It says concerning the Adomi and the Mitzri, it says, Banim asher yivaldu lahem dor shlishi yavo lahem bekal Hashem. So the Gemara takes it that I have two, we think, superfluous terms. One is banim and one is dor. So the Gemara takes it. It could either say that ben shlishi yavo, like in other words, the idea is that the mitzri who converts to Judaism or the adomi who converts to Judaism, he can't marry bekal. His son or daughter can't marry bekal, but his grandson or granddaughter could. And that's assuming that the female is prohibited, which is the way the Tanakhama took it in the Mishnah. It was just that Rabbi Shimon was still like with that, but otherwise we assume it that way. So the Gemara has the question, or the Braisa basically is coming to answer the question, why can't it just say ben shlishi yavo lahem o dor shlishi yavo lahem? Why does he have to say banim and dor? So Tana Rabbanan, im nemar banim lama nemar dorot. Im nem ar dorot, lem nem ar banim. Why do I need both terms? So the Gemara says, im nem ar banim, lem nem ar dorot. If the Torah would just say banim, in other words, like you know, ben shlishi of olahem bekal Hashem, eitiyo meir ben rishon v'sheni asur shlishi mutar. I would say that what the pasuk means, both Rafi, we just began, we're on ayin tetam and aleph, around the eighth line. So I would think that it means that if a mitzri or an adomi has three sons, the first son can't marry bekal. The second can't marry Mikal, the third son could. That's what I would think. L'chach nemar dorot. So it says banim dor shlishi. Nemar dorot, and if it only said dorot, lo nemar banim hayiti omer lo tana omdim al har Sinai. I would say, you know what the Torah means? The Torah means that it's addressing the generation that stood at Har Sinai and saying vis-a-vis the Jewish people. In other words, your generation, Mitzri and Adomi, can't join you. And for your kids, not, but your grandkids, then they could. Let's just take a look at the Rashi, and then I'll come back, I'll summarize for all of you, okay? So he says, if you look at the Rashi, in Nemar Dor Shlishi, below Nemar Banim, you have the Rashi, it's in the Gilyon HaShas. It says, Hayiti Omer, Lo Tam Yisraelim Omdim Al Har Sinai, Hu Omer Dor Shlishi Shalachem, Yavo Lahem Bekal. I would think that the Torah is addressing the Jewish people and saying, your Dor Shlishi, then the prohibitions meant for Sina Adomi are relaxed. Lomar, Bachem b'neichem asur mitzvi ba'adomi. For you and your kids, mitzvi ba'adomi, they're prohibited from marrying within Jewish people if they convert. Aval b'nei banim mutarim, mishum v'hala mutarim, mitzvi ma'afidu gerishon. So, but after that, all bets are off. So back in the Gemara, so he says, lo tanam d'la harsina, l'chach nemar banim. Therefore it says banim. Okay, now, let me just summarize for everybody. So, we said there's a pasuk in the Chumash, and it says by the Adomi and the Mitzri, it says banim asher yavadu lahem dor shlishi yavo lahem bekal Hashem, that their children that will be born for dor shlishi can join the kal, can join the Jewish people. So we take it means that if you have a Mitzri converts to Judaism, so his son can't marry bekal or his granddaughter according to the Tanakhama, but the grandkids could marry. And that's the way we take it. So the Braisa said, why do I need to say banim and why do I need to say dor? In other words, why can't I say like ben shlishi could come or dor shlishi? Why don't I need both? So the Braisa said, if it just said banim, I would say it means his third son. In other words, if he has three kids, the third son could marry Bekal. That's what I would have thought. And if it just had dorot, I would say the pshat means that the dor that stood at Har Sinai means from vis-a-vis you, you know, that there was, so it says banim and dorot, so I understand the whole thing. Let me do a few more lines in the Braisa, and then I'll pause for questions, okay? So the Gemara says, now the Gemara says lahem. So in the Pasuk, it says lahem twice in the Pasuk. It says banim ashi baldu lahem dor shlishi, yavo lahem bekal Hashem. So it says lahem twice. So lahem mehem menei lahem menei. In other words, so lahem means you begin the count with the convert himself. The first convert is generation one. In other words, so banim asher yavadu Lahem, begin the count with the first convert. He says, Lahem halecha char psulan. Lahem also teaches me, let's say, a ger mitzri or a ger adomi illegally against halacha marries a bas Yisrael. So what's the status of the offspring? So he's teaching me that I follow the psul. In other words, the child will have the aspect, the taint of whichever parent has got retained it, and that's what it's going to go on. So alech par psulan. He says, So he says here, so now again, we said that the first drasha of Lahem is that we're going to count from the convert himself. And then we also said, Ashri Yivaldu, going to be born. They need both terms. If I only had the term Ashri Yivaldu, like the kids will be born to you, I would think the count begins with the next generation. So if a Mitzri converts, so the first generation is the son. That's what I would think, or the daughter. It says, Ketav Rachman on Lahem. Ketav Rachman on Lahem, if Torah only wrote Lahem, Hava Amin, I would think, Mitzri Mu'beret Gaira, if you have a pregnant Mitzri that converts to Judaism, I would think, Hiu B'Nachad. I would think the son counts as the same generation as her. In other words, she's converting together with, you know, her fetus that's in utero. So I would think the fetus in utero has the same status as her, and that they would be the first generation. That's what I would think. Well, the same first generation. Tazarachmana Shiyivaldu. So Shiyivaldu is born. Okay, then let me just do a few more lines and we'll pause. The Yisrich L'Mechtav Lahem, Hacha, Yisrich L'Mechtav Lo, Gabi Mamzer. So again, we said there are two Lahems in the Pasuk. So the second Lahem teaches me, if you have a Mitzri that marries a Bas Yisrael, so the offspring, status of the offspring will follow the psul, which is the Mitzri parent. In other words, so the offspring, even though the mother's Jewish, the offspring will have a status of a Mitzri sheni. That was one lahem. Okay? We have two lahems in the pasuk. Okay. The second lahem, we said, teaches me halecha char psulan, that if the Mitzri of the Adomi illegally against halacha marries a Bas Yisrael, and so it's right. So the offspring gets the status of the psul. So but there's a similar pasuk or a similar line by the mamzer. It says by the mamzer, it says lo yavo mamzer bekal Hashem gam dor esri lo yavo lo bekal Hashem lo yavo lo bekal Hashem. So he says, so back in the Gemara. So v'istrich l'mitav lo gabim. So v'istrich l'mitav lahem hacha v'istrich l'mitav lo gabim mamzer. In other words, both limudim, both words, are teaching the same thing. That I have a mitzri that, let's say, intermarries with the Bas Yisrael, the offspring will follow the mitzri status. And if I have a mamzer who marries a Bas Yisrael, so the offspring will be after the mamzer. So he says here, but I need both limudim. Dikatab Rachmana Hacha, if the Torah only wrote by the mitzri, Lahem, I said, Bishum Tabat Mitipa Psula. I say the reason that the offspring follows the mitzri is because he comes from a tipa psula, meaning the mitzrim, that's like the poison. So he's got the poison, you know, blood in him. So mela, he has that status. About mamzer debami tipa kshera, the mamzer himself came from a tipa kshera. In other words, in Achinami, they, you know, did something wrong illicitly, but he came from Jewish stock. So emelo. So I'd say by the mamzer, if a mamzer, I would think, marries a Bas Yisrael, that the child doesn't follow the mamzer, I would think. Be'ikatav rachmana gabi mamzer, and if the Torah only wrote the word lo by the mamzer, he says, Mishum dein ravui lavo bakal liolam. I say the reason that the halacha is that you follow the psul, because the mamzer is like really super poison. He can never become bakal, ad infinitum, in perpetuity. About hacha, aim alo. But here by the mitzri, I'd say, nishkeferlach, you know, one parent's a mitzri, one's a Bas Yisrael. So we'll kasher him. Tricha. So the Torah had to say by both that you follow the psul. Okay, let's just summarize what we did and take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay? Okay. So again, so we had a couple of limud in here. So one limud was about the door shlishi, the banim and the door. And that's teach me that's the third generation. Then we had Lahem, the first Lahem, is I begin to count with the convert himself. So the Mitzri who converts, the Adomi who converts, he's generation one. And the third generation, which means his grandchildren, can marry Bakal. Then the second Lahem is if a Mitzri or an Adomi marry illegally a Bas Yisrael, I follow the Psul. I follow the Psul, that's the status. Then the Gemara says I have the same limud or the same word by a mamzer. It says lo by the mamzer, but we'll darsh in the same way that it says lo yavo mamzer b'kal Hashem gam dor asri lo yavo lo b'kal Hashem, that if the mamzer marries the Bas Yisrael, even though that's illegal, the offspring will follow the psul. Then the Gemara says, why do I need both limudim? Why isn't one enough that's teaching me that, you know, you have a psul and he marries the Bas Yisrael, you follow the psul. So the Gemara says, if he only taught me by So if it only said by the Mitzri, I would think because it comes from a Tipa Psula. In other words, it's coming from a nation that, you know, is sort of, you know, somewhat rejected from the Torah. So he says, if our mom's there, it's about me Tipa Kshira him alone. But the mom's there is coming from Jewish stock, so there's no prohibition. And if he wrote by the mamzer, I'd say the mamzer is like very poisonous. He can never come bakal, but the mystery, it's not so terrible. So you have to write in both places. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, and anything so far? Yo, Rafi, then Daniel. Whichever, the greater taint of either parent. Right.
Second question, what happened with the Arava?
With what?
The
Arava. The Arava. Generations
to get married?
Well, that's so. You know, in other words, you're assuming that the Erev Rav were Mitzrim. So if they're Mitzrim, yeah. So the Chora, they converted before the Torah was given. So I would assume that they could. Yeah, I would assume that. It's a good question, Rafi. I would have to look into it, but I think that since they were converting before Matan Torah, right. that they're not subject to the prohibitions of Mitzri and Adomi. No, it means, it means like all the Jews are converting at the same time. So everybody's getting a bris, everybody's going to a mikvah, and everybody's getting sprinkled with the dam from the korban, and everybody's accepting the Tariq mitzvah. So I would think that they sort of are not subject to that, but I'd have to look into it. Okay, now Daniel has his floor.
So when you said that we learn from the word of the Dorotam, that it started only and it only was applicable for Dor Midbar. I mean, how do we understand that?
No. You're fumishing a little bit here, Daniel. No, we said that if the Torah would have only written Dor Shlishi, if the Torah would say with Mitzri, right. so it would say, let me get the, so here's what it would say. It says Dor Shlishi of Olahem. So if the Torah wouldn't say Banim, say Dor Shlishi of Olahem, the Gemara says, I would have misunderstood the mitzvah. I would have thought that it means, like, vis-a-vis the Jews. Like, in other words, HaKadosh Baruch was speaking to the Jewish people and telling them, Dor Shlishi of Olahem, that for you, the mitzvah can't intermarry with the Jewish people. For your children, they can't intermarry. But for your grandchildren, then they're free to intermarry and if they convert to Judaism. Banim means that it's their children. In other words, Banim Asher Yivaldu Lahem. So it's judging by.
So we learned that it is not something applicable only Dor Midbar, but rather for futurity because of the fact that.
Right. The only thing is we don't have, like, with the Sal teacher said, Sancheriv came and was Mabalbel or the Umo, so we don't have a Mitzri and Adomi anymore today. But if we get through, there would be a Mitzri or Adomi, then the halakh would still apply. Okay. What's up? We're going to come to it now. Okay. Okay. So Yosef's asking, what if a Mitzri Rishon marries a Mitzri Sheni? So we'll see in a minute. We'll see. The Gemara's going to have a question. Right. In other words, we're only talking about Bas Yisrael and the Mitzri. So you're talking about, so Yosef's asking about a Mitzri with a Mitzri was the next topic in the Gemara. So let's say I have a Mitzri with a Mitzri. Which parent do I follow? All right. So we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be, there's going to be two Lashonos in the Yochanan. Okay. So I'm moving forward. Okay. Everybody with me? All right. Somebody have a question there? All right, I'm moving on. Okay,
everybody.
What?
Israel is born, the child is tainted, but is it considered the second generation of?
Okay, again, okay, listen, it'd be nice to see you, Malka. I'd like to see you. Okay, there we go.
Hello?
All right, now, okay, so again, if you have, let's say, you with me, Malka? Let's say I have a Mitzri Rishon who illegally marries a Bas Yisrael. So the child will have a status of a Mitzri Sheni.
Oh, it will, okay.
All right, okay, now everybody has to mute themselves and be patient because I need to go further in the Gemara. All right, so now. And work on the video, Malachi. I'd like to see your picture. Okay, now, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, so Tzricha. So Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan. We're midway down the column. So Amar Rabba Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, Mitzri Sheni, Shnasa Mitzri Rishona. So this was your question. Here it is. He says, Mitzri Sheni, I mean, the man is Mitzri Sheni. His father was a Mitzri who converted to Judaism. And he marries a Mitzri Rishona. He marries a Mitzri woman who just converted to Judaism, Benash Shlishi Havoy. Rabbi Yochanan says the son will be a Mitzri Shlishi. So he says, Alma Ksavar Batar Didei Shadinamai. So it seems like from this statement, Rabbi Yochanan holds when you have a marriage with a Mitzri, and a Mitzri, you follow the father. He says, Matib Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef posed the Kasha against Rabbi Yochanan from the following Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Tarfa Lameir, Yichol Mamzerim L'Tahir, that there's a way for Mamzerim to be Mitahir, the way for Mamzerim to enter the Jewish people. Ketzad, Mamzer Nasa Shifcha, if the Mamzer, quote, marries a Shifcha, means he has relations with the Shifcha Kananit. If the Mamzer will have relations with the Shifcha Kananit, Kavlad Eved, the son would be an Eved Kananit. The Shikharo, if the master then releases the Eved, Nimsa ben Horin. Then he's ben Horin and he's a kasher. So Alma batar didasha dinamai. So from that Mishnah, we see that when I have, you know, a marriage really with sort of two partners, one is the mamzer and one's the ebed, they each have sort of problems, you know, in terms of yichud, but we're going to follow the mother. We're going to follow the mother. So that's a kasher against Rabbi Yochanan, so we follow the father. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan will respond, Shani Hatam Damar Kroi, Shabi Ladet Yalad Venev. It was normally we would follow the father, but in that case, the Torah specifically overrode that ruling and says, you know, explicitly that Haishabi Ladet Yalad Venev, the offspring of a Shifcha, get the status of the mother. All right, let's see further. Now, Rabbi Amar, Matib Rabba, but Rabbi Yasakasha, again, against Rabbi Yochanan, and we think Rabbi Yochanan is saying we'll follow the father. So Matib Rabba, Rabba posed a kasha for the following braisa. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda said, Min Yamin Ger Mitzriya Yali Chaber Mitabidei Rabbi Akiva. I had a pal, his name was Min Yamin, and he was a Ger Mitzri. He was converted from the Egyptians. It's interesting that you see that even in the Zman of Tanayim, they had people identified Mitzri. As I said, the Santerah came with Mbabal the Umos. But here, at least in the time tonight, they had somebody who was a mystery. He says he was a palamite from Tivra Bikiva. But Amar, and he said, Ani Mitzri Rishon, I'm a Mitzri Rishon, because I converted. But Asati Mitzri Rishona. So I had a Shidduch with a Mitzri Rishona. Asila B Mitzri Chenia, I'm going to make a Shidduch for my son, who's going to be a Mitzri Sheni. I'm going to get him a Mitzri Shnia. Deshu Ben Bani, Rui Lavo Bakal. So that my son, my grandson, will be able to enter the Jewish people. That's my plan of action, is what Minyamin says to Rabbi Yehuda. If you'll assume that we'll always follow the father with the Mitzri Shidduch, I feel the Rishona Nami. So then he can even marry off the son to a Mitzri Rishona. So again, Minyamin says, I'm a Mitzri Rishon. And I married a Mitzri Rishona. I'm going to marry my son, who's a Mitzri Sheni, to a Mitzri Shnia. But if you're always going to follow the father, so you can even make a Shidduch with a Mitzri Rishona for the son. The son is a Mitzri Sheni, so son can marry a Mitzri Rishona. That's the kasha against Rabbi Yochanan. I feel the Rishona Nami. So the Gemara says, Ha'amalei Rabbi Yochanan, the Tana, that's the kasha. But Rabbi Yochanan indeed said to the Tana, who is reciting that braisa, Tani Rishona. In other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan's version of the Braisa, he said, yeah, I can marry my son even to a mystery Rishona. So then that corroborates what we said. Okay, so again, let me pause 1 second. So we're trying to figure out, this is Yosef's question, what do we do with a mystery Who do we follow? So in the first Lashon, Rabbi Yochanan, we follow the father. In other words, the father is a mystery. He marries a mystery, we're going to follow the father. Okay? So, all right, I'm going to move on. Okay, and then we'll see. Now, okay, now, Ki'at Rabdimi, when Rabdimi came from Eretz Israel, Am Rabbi Yochanan, he had a different version about what Rabbi Yochanan said. He said, Mitzri Sheni Shnasam Mitzri Rishona, said if a Mitzri Sheni marries a Mitzri Rishona, B'nash Sheni Havoy. So in this version, Rabbi Yochanan says, we're going to follow the mother. Mitzri and Mitzri, we're going to follow the mother. Alma Batar Imei Shatina Lei. So we see that we follow the mother, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Now, in this version, the operating principle we think is going to be Ubar Yerech Imo. But the Ubar, the fetus, is like gets the status of the mother, and we think the child would also get the status of the mother. Okay? No, well, remember our agreement. Remember our agreement, Rappy. Get the pad, get the pen, write it down. Okay? So now, so Amar Le Abaye. So Abaye said to Rav Dimi, Elahadam or Rav Yochanan. So that's Rav Yochanan's Hesber. But he said, but we have a different halacha, Rav Yochanan's that's going to contradict that. Elahadam or Rav Yochanan, Yefrish Chatat Uberet. Let's say a person was over in Aveira that b'meizi to be chayv karet, but he did it b'shogeg, so now he has to bring a korban chatat, right? That's what the Mishnah says. The 36 Aveirot that you can bring a korban chatat for. So he's separated, he's going to bring a sheep, but the sheep was pregnant. And that's the one, that's the animal he designates as chatat, a pregnant sheep. Bialda. And then after he designates the sheep gives birth. So ratzam and kaper ba, if he wants, he can get kapara with the first sheep, the mother sheep, or he can get kapara with the vlad of the chatat. Now, there's a halacha, there are 5 chatot metot, and one is vlad chatat. In other words, if I designate the korban chatat and then it becomes pregnant, so the vlad has to die. But here, it's different. Here, when I designate, it's already pregnant. Here, I designate, it's already pregnant. She says, now, yarem b'shleima ubar lav yarechimo hu. So now the question is, what does Rabbi Yochanan hold? Does he hold Ubar Yerachimo or Ubar Lav Yerachimo? So from the previous lines of the Gemara, it sounded like, according to Rav Dimi, Rabbi Yochanan holds an Ubar Yerachimo. And that's why he holds that we follow the mother with the mystery and the mystery. So he says, or the mystery and the mystery. So he says, so this halacha, if I say Ubar Lav Yerachimo, so then it makes sense. It's like person designated 2 animals, because I'm afraid something may happen to one or the other one, so I want to make sure I have, you know, a korban that's ready to go, so I can pick either one to be the korban. So I can get kapar with one, and the other one will graze. Now, there's a different halacha that we studied, if you remember, that is chatat kipru balel. If I bring a chatat, and then that chatat takes a walk somewhere, and I don't know where it is, then I bring another chatat, and then I bring it. The first chatat shows up, the chatat has to die, because chatat shekipru balel. But here, from the get-go, I designate 2 animals. I say one's going to be the korban, one's going to be the backup. So then one I'll bring the support, but one will be great. So that's fine. Yeah. Just one minute, we'll come. Let us focus, and we'll get through. They say, mekabra kamein v'ashin tzriyam. El yamid uber yerachimo hu. But if you assume that uber yerachimo, which is the way we've been assuming, the fetus follows the mother, havlei vlad chatat. So then it's a vlad of a chatat. I was here with a chatat, I have the vlad of the chatat. It's not 2 separate animals with 2 separate identities. I have the chatat and the vlad of the chatat. The vlad chatat lamita azda. So that's the question that Abaye posed to Rav Dimi. So Ishtik, so Rav Dimi was silent. So Amar Leh, then Abaye said to him, Dilma shani hatam d'thiba shayivaldu. He says, maybe in Achinami, Rabbi Yochanan holds in general that Ubar Lav Yerachimo. So the halakha with the 2 chads of 2 lambs, it's fine, with the chatat, it's fine. And as far as the status with the 2 parents, one being a mystery Rishon and one being a mystery Sheni, I'm going to follow the mother, the Torah says Asher Yivaldu, that are born, that it focuses Haktum Tlo Beleda. So if I ask the question, then if I answer the question that he asks. So Amar Leh, so Rav Dimi says to him, he says, Karkavna, like brilliant one, in other words, like he says, Chazit the Reshef Bene Amude Ki Amar Rabbi Yochanan HaShmaita. He says, How can you say that in your own name? I saw you between the pillars of the Beis Medrash where Yochanan was explaining this halacha, and that's the hesber that he gave. So how is it like you say this in your own name? Or in the alternative, you look at Tosfos, the third Tosfos, because he's the Reshach Bein Amuri. Reshach means like your head, but Reshach can mean your Rebbe. Perush Rabcha, your Rebbe. The Matzinu Rabba Shalachalod of Rabbi Yochanan Bishilai Kuba. Because Tosfos says, we see that Rabba did study by Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabba was Abaye's uncle and his Rebbe. So that's the way Tosfos likes the shot. And that makes a lot more sense in a way, because Rabbi Yochanan was in Babel, and Abaye was in Eretz Yisrael, and Abaye was in Babel. So with the way Tosfos has it, we know that Rabba went to study with Abaye, with Rabbi Yochanan, so it makes sense. Okay, so let's just summarize again, then we'll take questions, and then we'll pause, and then we'll go on, okay? So again, we had a mitzri marrying a mitzri. Well, a mystery marrying a mystery, but one is a Rishon, one's a Sheni, whichever way it goes. So the first Lashon is, we're going to follow the father. Second Lashon, we're going to follow the mother. So within Rabbi Yochanan. And we thought originally it was because of Ubar Yerachimo, but it says no, that Rabbi Yochanan really has Ubar Lav Yerachimo, but he says the Pasuk says, Rishon Yibaldu, that overrides all of the concerns and says we're going to follow on the one who gives birth to the child. That's going to be the status. So if the father's a mystery Rishon, the mother's a mitzri sheni, so the child, according to the second version, will be kasher to marry Bakal. The child will be a mitzri shlishi and can marry Bakal. Okay, wait a minute here. Again, we have two lashonot, two versions of what Rabbi Yochanan says. In the first version, he says we follow the father. The second version, he says we follow the mother.
No, that's not a choice.
Not a choice. Okay. Okay. Do you want to ask something, Daniel, or not? You're good. So the Gemara didn't mention why, but we could say that, you know, when it comes to Goyim, you usually follow the father. We're going to have an Amud Beis that for Goyim, we usually follow the status of the father. All right.
If a religion, the Muslim, it goes to the father.
It's designated to the second one in grace, and you can redeem it.
Right. So that's going that Ubar Lav Yerachima. All right. So in other words, wait. In other words, which case are you talking about? Is this a pregnant sheep, or there were just two sheep in general? Two sheep and one for Akrayas, right. So one will be the korban, one will graze until it gets a mom. Right. Right. Except you're limited with Shalim Mukdash and the whole thing. Okay. All right. I'm going to move on. Okay. All right. Now, all right. We're on the third wide line on Ayin Chedem and Aleph. So the Gemara says, Tama Dechiba Shiyubaldu. So the reason that here by the mystery and the mystery, we're following the mother, because we have a Shiyubaldu. But in general, we're going to follow the father within the last lash of Rabbi Yochanan. Elahadam Rabba, Nachri Muberish and Gaira, but Rabba has Allah, like a non-Jewish woman who's pregnant that converts to Judaism, benign Sirik Tvila. The son, who was in utero at the time of the conversion, doesn't require another Tvila. He says, in other words, the mother immersed in the mikvah of the Shem Geirus, and so then she gives birth to, so the son was conceived, you know, when she was a non-Jewish woman, but she gives birth to it after she's Jewish, but she went to tefillah with him when he was in utero. So he doesn't require another tefillah. Amayin, sarah tefillah, why does the son not require tefillah? So v'chitayim ha-mishum Rav Yisach. In other words, we're saying ubar lav yarachim. So the ubar lav yarachim, the ubar is a separate entity, so he should require a separate tefillah mikvah. V'chitayim ha-mishum Rav Yisach, to amar Rav Yisach, to bar Torah, Rubo makpid alav chotzeis. Rubo she'ino makpid alav eino chotzeis. So on a deraisa level, so chatzitza is only rubo makpid. In other words, if it covers most of my body and I'm makpid, then it's a chatzitza. On a bottom level, if I have either element, so if it's a miyut makpid, it's chotzeis, or rubo eino makpid, it's chotzeis. We're going to focus on the deraisa din for this din. So I think that they had different stars in the art school why we would only focus on the Raisa here. One is because it's a very unusual situation. So they weren't going, he says, One explanation he gives is like immersion with the fetus is uncommon, and the Chachamim didn't issue, you know, gzeirot for an uncommon situation. Okay, that's what the Ritva says. Okay, so he says, there are Torubu Makula Kotes, Bushin Makula Eno Kotes. So he says, print page. So it means like this. So the, what's the word? Yeah. He says, so maybe like this. Let's say, so in other words, vis-a-vis the Ubar, so that the mother is a chatzitza between him and the Mechna. The mother is a chatzitza. Right. But Rubo and Enomakid is not a chatzitza. So maybe let's say, so we were saying, if the Ubar is Lav Yerachimo, he should require a Tfilin Mechna. But maybe he'll say like this, I know the dinim of chatzitza, and Rubo and Enomakid is not a chatzitza on a Dvar Torah. So the fetus, he's happy. He's happy where he is. This is like his native thing. This is where he grows. So in other words, that's Enamati. So he says, so turn page on the top line and on the base. He says, Vaha'ama Rav Kahana, but Rav Kahana says, Lo Shana with a Rubo. That's only if it covers most of him. About Kulo Chotzeis, if it's covering all of him, then it is a Chatzitz under all circumstances. So how do we reconcile this halacha of Rava with the idea that Ubar Lav Yerachimo. So Shani Ubar then Rebitis. The Gemara says Ubar is different. That's where he grows, his natural place. It's not considered a chatzitza. That's his normal growth pattern. Okay, now, all right, I'm going to move on unless somebody's got the. That's right, the Ben Paku you're talking about. So, yeah, so first, the Gemara, I think, gets into a discussion about Uber Yerachimo by the Ben Pakua, but I don't know what to say. It is similar, but I have to look. It could be that the Gemara has the Gemara may have the same machloket over there, but about Uber Yerachimo or not, I have to look into it again, okay?
Rabbi, don't we have this, in order to be Jewish, you have to be a child of a Jew. At the time of birth, the mother had converted already. What is the question? A child doesn't need even to go to mikveh or anything else.
Okay. We're talking about Ubar Lav Yerachimo. So the Ubar is a separate entity from the mother. So Lechor is coming about.
The definition comes to be whether it comes from a Jewish mother, the mother converted before birth.
Yeah, no, but the Ubar existed before she converted. The Ubar, she's carrying the child that's in utero. All right, but hold that on the side. It's a question of luck about how the Gairus is going to work. But I want to get through the daf, and then if we have time, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about. I'll touch one more thing to you. Listen to this. This is from, they had a sheet on the Moro Dakyomi. It was from the Kovetz Shiurim from Rav Elchanan and the Kovetz Ha'arot. He said like this. This is from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that let's say, on a deraisa level, in other words, it has to be rubo umakbid. It has to cover most of you and be makbid with it. That'll be kotzeis. So the Gemara wanted to say in the Havamina that vis-a-vis the fetus, so it's rubo, but he's not makbid on it. In other words, it's covering, in other words, it's kulo, but it's covering most of him, but he's not makbid. So I think Rav Chaim asked like this, and, but on a Drabana level, even Rubo and Enomakbid is a chatzitza. So in other words, given that all the back pattern, so the person would be Makbid. In other words, you want to say, like Rubo and Enomakbid, so on a Deraisa level works. But on a Drabana level, it doesn't work. So if you would ask me, how do I feel about this now Makbid? If I know that it's on a Drabana level, it doesn't work, so then I would be upset with the whole situation. Let me just leave this at the end. I'll see. It depends how much time we have at the end.
It's just in general,
okay, so it means like this. There's a din of chatzitza on a deraisa level, din of chatzitza on a rabbanon level. So chatzitza is an interruption between me and the water. So if it's on a deraisa level, a Torah, just Torah law, says rubo umachbid is a chatzitza. If it covers the majority of the object, and I'm machbid, I don't want it there, that's a chatzitza. On a drabanan level, the Chachamim said that if it's mi'ud machbid, even if it covers a minority, but you're machbid, it's a chatzitza. And they said, it's rubo and eno makbid, it's also a chatzitza. Okay, so let me see back from the Gemara. Let's go back. Okay, sure. Now, we're on the second line on Ein Chet of Beis. Kiata Rabina Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now, it's usually Ravin. You have Rav Dimi, and then Ravin usually shows up. Usually Ravin disagrees with Rav Dimi. Here he's not disagreeing with Rav Dimi. Kiata Rabina Amar Rabbi Yochanan means when Rabina came from Eretz Yisrael, he suddenly Rabbi Yochanan. The Umor Olechakar Hazakar. When it comes, this is what you were sort of intimating before, Yosef. That was by the non-Jews, we follow the male father. We follow the male father. The Umor Olechakar Hazakar. So it's talking about, we'll see in a minute, the Gemara is going to explain that with the Shiva Abamin, you come into Eretz Yisrael, so Torah says, Lo Techayek Kol Neshama. You can't leave anybody alive. Let's say a non-Jewish Kenani father, marries a non-Jewish mother who's not born from Shiva Amin. So we're going to follow the father. It'll be decided it's a child. But if it's a Kenani mother and some other nation is the father, non-Jewish, so then we can have that child to be an Eved. So he says here, Umot Alechachar Zachar, Nitgairu Alechachar Pagum Shibishnehem. So the Gemara will explain, if you have two non-Jews that convert, it means to say a Mitzri and an Ammoni or whatever, we're going to follow whichever parent leads to the greatest taint. So the Gemara will explain. Umot Alechachar Zachar, Kidatanya, Minayin Lechamen Umot Shabala Kanani. How do you know, let's say, there's somebody from France or somebody from another nation, and he has relations with a Kanani woman. You're allowed to buy that offspring as a slave. In other words, he's not under the mitzvah of killing them. It's one of the Shiva Umot. Shiva Amin. Shnemar, Begami B'nei HaToshavim, like Garim Lechem, Mehem Tiknu. In other words, like the sons of the people who are native in Eretz Israel, you can purchase them as avadim. So the way the Gemara understands the Pasuk, that non-Jews from outside of Eretz Israel come to Eretz Israel, and they have relations with the women in Eretz Israel, who are the Kanani women, you're allowed to buy that offspring. But if a Kanani went to, and Rashi says the women usually stay put, and the men go off to like other countries. So the Kanani man went off to another country, let's say to Turkey, and he had relations with a woman there, Right. So Yechola, I might have thought that you could buy him from Eved. Tam Lomar, Asher Lidu Ba'art Sechem. They gave birth in your land. Minan Oladim Ba'art Sechem, Alom Minan Garim Ba'art Sechem. So it means like this, the way that Rashi explains that the women stay put. In other words, the Kanani women stay here in Eretz Israel. The men, they travel for work and things like that. So if it's Noladim Lachem Ba'art Sechem, the woman is here, that means the mother is a Kanani, and the father is a non-Kanan, then you could buy him as an Eved. But if it's the other way around, people come, in other words, let's say they're born abroad and they had a Kanani father, and now they come to live here, then you can't buy them as an Eved. They're subject to the din of Lo Techayek Kol Neshama. All right, now, a few more lines, we'll get to the Mishnah, then we've got to keep moving. The second wide line. Nitgayru Alechachar Pagum Shibishnehem. If both parents are non-Jews, we're going to follow whichever one leads to the greater taint. So, Bamai, what case are we talking about? Ilema Mitzri Shasa Ammonit. If it's a Mitzri convert that marries an Ammonit convert, my Pagum Shabashneim Ipa, Ammonit Lomonit. So, how is each Pagum? In other words, the Ammonit is allowed to marry in Klal. In other words, there's no prohibition against her. So, it's not Pagum Bishneim. Ela Ba Ammoni Shasa Mitzri. So, the only way it makes sense, if you have an Ammoni, now, the Ammoni, he's prohibited forever from joining Klal Yisrael. And the Mitzri, or the Mitzri, is three generations, according to the Tanakhama. So, if an Ammoni shasa Mitzri, Yizachar Have, so if it's a male offspring, Shadye Batar Ammoni. So, we're going to treat the male offspring like the Ammoni side, and he's going to get the most stringent treatment that he can ever marry in the Jewish people. In the Keva Have, if it's a female offspring, Chadiya Batar Mitzri. So then, if we say the female is an Ammoni, then she can marry right away. So we're going to give her the more stringent treatment and follow the Mitzri, and then follows the generations that would go that way. Okay, let's just summarize again what we did. So we said that If a Mitzri marries a Bas Yisrael, then we follow the Mitzri. Okay. Then we said if a Mitzri marries a Mitzri, so then we had two Lashonos in Reb Yochanan, but the Lashon that we're going to follow is we follow the mother. We follow the mother, she evolved du lahem, based on that Pasuk, and Ubar Lav Yerachimo. Then we said that when it comes to non-Jews, then we usually follow the father. It was vis-a-vis the non-Jewish genealogy, non-Jews and non-Jews, we follow the father. So with the Kananim, if the father's a Kanani, then the son's, the offspring's a Kanani. If the father's not a Kanani, the offspring's not a Kanani. And then if a Mitzri marries an Ammoni marries a Mitzri, so we're going to follow whichever parent leads to the greatest stringency. So it could be different children, different parents. So again, so if the father's an Ammoni and the mother's a Mitzri, so if it's a boy, we're going to say he's an Ammoni. If it's a girl, we're going to say she's a Mitzri, because that leads to the greatest stringency. And then for Jewish people, and Rav Shakta mentioned this, Rav Sablovsky mentioned this, in other words, we go by the greatest gam with each parent. So let's say a mamzer marries a Bas Yisrael, so the offspring's a mamzer, whichever, or if a Jewish man marries a mamzeret, so it's a mamzer. Okay, questions come to us really quickly.
Wait,
Fern, that I got you again.
So ask this question. Second generation Mitzri with first generation. Are you going to go with the second generation because they won't paint it?
Listen, we said this several times. So the second Lashon of Rabbi Yochanan is we follow the mother, that we're going to follow the mother. Okay, what's up, Fern?
We're in the flow of this whole Gemara. We did the part with the Chatat and the Ubar. What did that bring to the party here?
So there, it only made sense if Ubar Lav Yerachimo. So that halakha only made sense if Ubar Lav Yerachimo, that it's not following the mother, it's following the father. But we said that here it's a different halakha because the Pasuk is Sheyivaldu.
Why were we trying to learn from a korban to a person?
We were trying to learn. We thought that Rabbi Yochanan was following the idea of Ubar Yerachimo.
We're
bringing a stira. Here he says Ubar Yerachimo by the Mitzri, but he says by the korban he says Ubar Lav Yerachimo. So he said really he holds Ubar Lav Yerachimo, but by the Mitzri there's a pasuk that says Hoshei Baldu that teaches me I follow the mother. Okay. I have to move, okay? So on the fifth line of the Gemara, then I can't take any more questions. We have to keep moving. We're running out of time, okay? So manitin, mamzerin or natinim asurin b'isurani surolam akad zkarim akad netevot. So the Mishnah says mamzerim is like the result of a forbidden, you know, sexual relationship. And we had the machloka tonight, who's a mamzer. Remember, it was a tiv mita, tiv kare, or any she'er that's prohibited, or any lav. Or even an Easter essay, but whatever the mamzerim are, natinim are the givonim who converted in the time of Yeshua, and the Gemara explains that David HaMelech, you know, prohibited them from coming b'kahal. Asurim v'yisrani sur olam akad zkar b'kahal nekevot. They're prohibited forever, male and female. So Amrei Shlakish mamzeret l'char saraduro muteret. So Rish Lakish says, not like our Mishnah. Rish Lakish says that a mamzeret, a female mamzer or descendant, after 10 generations, is permitted to come b'kahal. Yalef Asiri Asiri Me Amoni Umoavi. Now, he's going to say like this. In the Pasuk, it says, Lo Yavo Amoni Umoavi B'Kal Hashem, Gam Dor Asiri Lo Yavo Amoni B'Kal Hashem Olam. So it says Dor Asiri Be Amoni Umoavi, but then it also explains it means they can never come B'Kal. It was even the Dor Asiri beyond, they can't marry B'Kal. That's the Amoni and the Moavi. Then by the Mamzer, it says, the Mamzer can't come B'Kal Hashem, Gam Dor Asiri Lo Yavo B'Kal Hashem, the Dor Asiri can't come B'Kal. So the Gemara learns in Gzeirah Shavah, it says Dor Asiri, Dor Asiri. Just like the Dor Asiri by the Ammoni the Moavi means forever, so too by the Mamzer it means forever. But the question is, how do I learn that Gzeirah Shavah? So everybody agrees with that part of Gzeirah Shavah, but Rish Lakish learns, just like by the Ammoni the Moavi, the female could come to Kahal, so too he's going to take that piece and also learn that with the Gzeirah Shavah. Now, we can't say they come right away, because mamzer, we learned that the parents are tainted, like the mum czar, whatever. But after the 10th generation, Rish Lakish learns they can come b'kahal. So see back in the Gemara, Rish Lakish mamzer l'achar asar duro muteret. Yalef asir esir me amoni moavi. Malahalan kim muterot, afkan kim muterot. It's just like by the Amonim, the Moavi, the females are allowed right away to intermarry. So too, with the Mamzeret or the Mamzer, after 10 generations, the females can come in. So by the Amonim, the Moavi, right away they can enter, the females can come in. Maybe here also by the Mamzer. The Xerish Shama only helps going from the 10th generation forward, because the Pasuk is clear that a Mamzer can't come. Mamzer means there's a taint in your parents. It's a Dor HaSiri. But from Dor HaSiri, that's the way Reish Lakish is going to learn. But the Mishnah says, the Mishnah says they can never come to Kahal, even the women. There's no contradiction between the Mishnah and Reish Lakish. Hakaman Damar Dun Mina Mina. This is Machloket Tanayim between Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua, how you learn Gzeirah Shavah. So when Reb Lezer learns Dun Mina Mina, I'm going to learn the Gzeirah Shavah, and I'm going to learn whatever I can learn from the Gzeirah Shavah, the whole shebang. So that's the way Reish Lakish is doing. Hakaman Damar Dun Mina Uki Batra. But the other Tana is learning, I'm just going to learn what I need to from the Gzeirah Shavah, and the rest I'm going to leave behind. So I'm knowing that I'm leaving. Okay, now, Shalud Reb Lezer. Now, Reb Lezer is the one who says, Dumi Nami Na. We'd expect him to agree with Reish Lakish. He's a Tana. So Reb Lezer, Mamzeret Lachar Sador, Dara Imahu. What's this, the din of a Mamzeret after 10 generations? And remember, if he's learning Dumi Nami Na, then he should hold that the female Mamzeret is permissible. So he says, Amar Lahem, Yitainli Dor Shlishi Bataharenu. I wish I had a Dor Shlishi, I'll be Matire. Meaning, I can't even find a Dor Shlishi. They don't last, they don't survive. Al-Maksavar Mamzera Lochai. So apparently, the Tana Reb Lezer holds that Mamzerim don't have a Rechus Yamim. V'chein Amar Rav Huna Mamzera Lochai. Rav Huna said the same thing. But Antanan Mamzerim Asur V'Yisrani Sur Olam. But the Mishnah says they're prohibited in perpetuity. But if they're all dying off, I can't be Sur Olam. Am Reb Zera, L'diti Mefarsh L'minit Rav Yehuda. So Reb Zera says it was personally explained to me by Rav Yehuda. D'yadiyachai. If he's a known person who's known to be a Mamzer, so then that person will live. Delo yidia lo chai. But if a person is not known to be a mamzer, we don't know about him, he's not going to live, because in other words, like we don't want Jews to marry with him, but in a shemayim it'll work out that he doesn't live. The yidia velo yidia, if it's a safe whether he's a mamzer or not, I thought the dari chai tfei lo chai. He only lived 3 generations. It means as long as people remember that he's a mamzer, he'll live, his progeny will live. When people forget about it, they'll all die off. Ahuda habi b'shavrutid Rabbi Yami. There was a certain mamzer in the name of Rabbi Yami. Akrizalei de mamzer rahava. So he announced to everybody he's a mamzer. Bachi va'azil. So he was crying and walking, sad thing. Amar lei chayim natatilat. He said, I just gave you life. And by making this hakraza, you're not going to die early. Okay, now. Amar of Chanabar Ada, Natinim David Gazar Lehem. We're moving over to Natinim. Natinim are the Givonim. If you remember, in Sefer Yoshua mentions there was a city in Eretz Israel, Givon, and the people disguised themselves. We say they come from a faraway place, and they made a brit with Yoshua, and then they're not supposed to make a brit with the Yoshua Eretz Canaan, but made a brit with them, and then since he made it, so it would be the Chil Hashem to violate it, so he kept them, and then they eventually they converted to Judaism, but he set them off as Chotvei Eitzim Shor V'Mayim. They're going to choppers of wood, drawers of water, the base of Mikdash. Then there's an incident that takes place. We're going to read a minute of Tavid HaMelech. Tavid HaMelech says they can't intermarry in Klal Yisrael. Shneimar by Kram Melech like Givonim by Yomalehem by Givonim Lo Bnei Yisrael Him Vegomer. So there's an incident which we're going to see that there was a famine for 3 years in Eretz Yisrael, one year after another, and then it emerged that Tavid HaMelech understood that it was because of a wrong that was done to the Givonim. So Tavid HaMelech calls the Givonim and it says the Givonim Lo Bnei Yisrael Him. They're not part of the Jewish people. So he says, "My tama gaz." That means that's the gzeira. So my tama gaz are alive. Why did you make the gzeira? Dechtivah he rab made David shoshlim shana achar shana. So there was a famine 1 year after the other. Shana rishona amar lehem. The first year, David Melch said to the Jewish people, "Shema ob deyavod kuchav miyishbechem. Maybe you're guilty of avodah zara." Dechtivah avodah tibal himachamim v'shtachim tim lehem. Yitzar shemayim v'limat parba gomer. The pasuk says that we recite in Shema every day. And if you do a avodah zara, then Hashem will hold forth the rain. Maybe you're guilty of avodah zara. But kuv lo matzu, they expect they didn't find any avodah zara. Shnia, the second year, Amar lehem, Hashem over avera yishbecha. Maybe you're engaged in illicit sexual relations. Avera, generally gemara, means illicit sexual relations. Dechiv, vayim ne'ur v'vim u'malkosh, u'malkosh lo'ayah, meitzach yishazana hayalach v'gomer. Pasuk in Yirmiyah says, like, he'll hold back all the rains. Because you have the arrogance of having a harlot in your midst. So, but Kubalomatsu, the inspector, they didn't find not a problem with that either. Shlishi, the third year, Amar Lahem, Shema Poskit Staka Brabi Yishba Kaminon. Maybe there are people who publicly make a pledge to give staka and don't fulfill the pledges. The thief, the Siyim Baruach, the Geshemayan, there's clouds, wind, and no rain. Ishmet Halev, Matat Sheker, because everybody's like lauding themselves with like a false gift. But Kubalomatsu, they didn't find that either. So, Amar, so Babin Melech said, it must be I'm remiss with something. It's something I didn't do right. So Miyadva Vakeshta Bida Pnei Hashem, the David Melach had an inquiry to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. He says, Mahi, what does that mean? What would he do? So Amar Reish Lakish Shabu Rivatumim. He posed the question of the Rivatumim, you know, the Kohen Gadol wears Koshen, and he has stones on all the Shvatim, and the letters light up and give you the message. So he says, my Mashma, how do you see that? Amar Lazar Akya Pnei Pnei. David saw Pnei Hashem. So by Yomar Hashem, so Hashem responds to David that the famine is El Shaul Beobeda Damim Al Cheremit HaGivonim. For Shaul and for the bloody house that he killed the Givonim. So El Shaul Shalaspad Kalakov. For Shaul, a prepar hesped was never given for Shul HaMelech. That's one. And the second is that he, Shaul, killed the Givonim. Where did he kill the Givonim? So Elam, Mitosharagnov, Yura Kohanim. So there's an incident in Sefer Shmuel where David HaMelech gets some sort of like refuge and provisions from Ahimelech, who is the Kohen Gadol, in Nov, Yura Kohanim. David HaMelech is fleeing from Shaul. Comes to Nov, Yura Kohanim. So Ahimelech gives him the sword of Goliath, and he gives him some bread. So then Shaul, Doi Ha'adomi, like, tells him about it, and Shaul comes there, and then he kills the Nov Yerikonim. So he says, so Nov Yerikonim, they were the employers of the Givonim. So they lost their employer. So he says, so you must speak to them, Sapka the Mayim Mazon. In other words, the Givonim were the Chotfei Esim Shovei Mayim, the choppers of wood and drawers of water for the Mishkan. So I guess it was maybe a Nov then at that time. And now they lost all their employers. They didn't have food and water. So Pasuk says as if he killed them. Does that make sense? On the one hand, you're saying that they're guilty because they didn't give a proper hesped for Shaul. On the other hand, they're saying Shaul did something terrible that he killed Nov Yerikonim. It's like, in the same sentence, you're praising him, and in the same sentence, you're saying he's guilty of a terrible avera. That's correct. The Amar Reish Lakish, my dechtiv, bakshut Hashem, go'an be'eretz, Hashem mishpato pa'alu, always seek God, all the humbles of the earth, that they're doing his law, God's law, ba'asher mishpato sham pa'alu. In other words, where you find God's justice, there you find that there's an accounting for all deeds. In other words, when Hashem judges a person, some judging him, he did good, but there's also an accounting for the good things that he did. He says, so, all right, so let's just pause for a minute. So we're not up to the bottom line, but the point is that David HaMelech is trying to, he found out the famine is because there was no hesped for Shaul, and it's going to come out, look at the next line of the Gemara. Amar David Shaul nachku lehu treis yarchi shata v'lo darkei lemispedei. He says, Natinim Nikrinu and if I see him. So he says Shaul is dead more than 12 months. It's not the proper time for a hesped. So that's like farfalling. That's water under the bridge. But the Givonim, maybe we can appease the Givonim and straighten this whole thing and end the famine. So it comes out in the end. We'll see that David HaMelech, the Givonim are very cruel. David HaMelech decrees that they can't marry the Jewish people. Okay, I think that's got to be it. Okay, I'm sorry, I have to. Out of time. Nice seeing everybody. Let me end the recording. One second.